Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the Calling for Truth radio program today. It's great to have you here along with us. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and Dr. Paul Dean is here as well in the studio. We're going to be talking about today what's we've termed as the Hagi heresy. I don't know if there's many folks in our listening audience that are familiar with the ministry of John Hagi, but I think if you've listened to that ministry at all over the years, you know that unfortunately, John Hagi really is no stranger to controversy. He's made some startling remarks over the years. However, these latest remarks, and maybe we'll be able to talk about some of those here in just a few minutes, but these latest remarks about his book called In Defense of Israel, I think are really nothing short than heretical statements about the real ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We may play a clip here in just a minute so that you can hear John Hagi in his own words describing what he has written in this book. And then we're going to try to go systematically through some of these statements and talk about why these things are wrong. And I got to do a shout out here to Kendall Adams, who is a blogger, and on his blog, alwaysreformingtoscripture.blogspot.com. He has made me aware of what was this issue, and so we discussed it and decided that we would go ahead and mention it on air here as well and discuss it and talk about it a little bit here on the Calling for Truth radio program. Before we do, though, today, we're going to switch to that, and that's the main focus of the program. But there's something that has just come out in the news. In fact, it was just updated about 25 minutes ago, so this is very, very fresh out on the this is actually being reported on CNN. But a lot of folks know about the shooting that took place in Colorado at two places. One was at a Youth with a Mission headquarters. A couple missionaries were shot there. And then 12 hours later, at a church, a fairly large mega church in Colorado Springs, a number of other people were shot there. And then the gunman himself was killed. Well, it came out today, and like I say, just about 25 minutes ago, that this Colorado gunman posted anti-Christian writings in between the shootings, during the 12 hours in between there. He wrote that that he had this hatred for Christians, and that his saying that Christians, you have brought this upon yourself. It says this quote on the bulletin board, the internet bulletin board that he wrote this on. It says, quote, you Christians brought this on yourself. And then he says, quote, again, I'm coming for everyone. Soon I will be armed to the teeth and I will shoot to kill. And so here was this young man who originally was part of a youth group and was apparently somewhat perturbed by not being allowed to go on a certain mission trip that a church had organized. Then began to get more and more angry. He had been out posting things, and a number of Christians had been trying to counsel with him online. They allowed him to stay into this bulletin board that he was posting some pretty disturbing things on, but they allowed him to continue to post because they were trying to minister to him. But in the end, he ended up saying that he heard voices and blamed Christians for everything that was wrong in the world, and then went on this shooting spree. So quite a story coming out of Colorado this morning. And our prayers go with the families of those that were killed in this event. And this young man, he actually quoted quite a bit from Klebold and Harris, you know, the two that did the shooting rampage in Columbine. in 1999. He quotes quite a bit from them. Mm-hmm. So very, very disturbed and, you know, definitely on this rampage out to blaming Christians for what took place. Paul?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And Kevin, you know, I haven't gotten into the story. I'm certainly aware of it. But just a couple of comments. You know, it highlights just how sinful human beings are apart from the restraining grace of God, how sinful we can be. And if God, you know, didn't have restraining grace in the world, we'd all destroy one another. Mm. And that's grace for unbelievers as well as believers. Obviously, we've talked about this before. There's a difference between saving grace and common grace. You know, saving grace, we come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Common grace is that grace that God gives to everyone. It rains on the righteous as well as the unrighteous, and the crops are produced, etc. But there is a restraining grace even in the lives of unbelievers. If it weren't there, they would spiral downward and further downward and further downward. Mm-hmm. And we're all capable the most heinous of sins, even as believers. And so we praise God for his grace, but we pray for mercy because we see more and more of this in our nation. I think we see it because, you know, sin continues to proliferate. I think we see it because the church is somehow in large measure, and I put myself in this category, asleep. We need to wake up. We need to be the salt and light in this culture that God has called us to be. We need to take the Great Commission seriously and that we talk to others about the Lord Jesus every day. We need Christians influencing every sphere of life, whether it be art or music or athletics or politics or whatever. We need Christians involved, penetrating those areas and living out their lives before the world. And I think another thing that we have to look at, Kevin, not that we're going to talk about this all day, mm-hmm. but, you know, when we see things like Columbine and we see things like Virginia Tech, and they give so much airtime to these types of events. I mean, day after day after day. And look, I'm one of the ones that watched. I'm one of the ones that will watch in the future. I think that's part of who we are. We like to see what's going on, and there's a morbid kind of curiosity there. But I do think it contributes. I think mm-hmm. when people see this, they realize they can get their day in the sun. They can get their hour of fame. And when he says, I'm going to come armed to the teeth, it's not just that he has a hatred for Christians, which he does. And by the way, that shouldn't surprise us. I mean, the Lord Jesus said of all people, you know, we're going to be hated. We're going to be persecuted. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. So, you know, this shouldn't surprise us, but I think that added dynamic of knowing that you're going to be famous and get on television, et cetera, that certainly contributes to that, and I think it would be wise, perhaps, for the media industry to rethink some of that. Maybe we should just not watch. You know, I've already admitted that I do, but mm-hmm. I'm calling for the media to take more responsibility. Maybe I need to take some responsibility
right.
as well.
It seems to need some sort of a policy there, whether they just withheld the person's name or something, you know, to do. I think that's really an excellent solution to the whole terrorist problem. Mm-hmm. When you have the bombs going off, the suicide bombs over in Iraq, they're doing it for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing it for the media attention.
That's right.
They were trying to break down America's will and, you know, one bombing after the other. But if we just had a moratorium on showing the bombings for a period of time, they would stop. The incentive for doing those would stop. They were designed to break down the American world to show, you know, nothing's getting better. Remember, almost every day, these things have, by the way, have greatly curtailed over the last couple months, and they've associated it with the surge and with working with the government in a better way and a couple other things that are happening there. But with terrorism, you know, if you just didn't show, you know, the terrorist act, you would remove the incentive for doing it. See, they know they get a tremendous amount of airtime for very little of their resources being spent, even to the point of the person's life that ignites the bomb. But I think we need some sort of a policy on both that from a terrorist standpoint and now some of these shootings so that they don't get the it's not glamorized at all.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could remove some element of that, it would certainly help.
Well, you're right, and I think too, in one sense we can point the finger, and in another sense we can just give a positive encouragement. But I think in one sense, it does really come back to where our culture is, Kevin, mm-hmm. and where it's going. And we can point at all of the deviant factors and groups in our culture. But again, I do think that we, as believers, bear some responsibility. We need to be salt and light. We need to know what that means. We've forgotten what that means. When the divorce rate in the church is higher than it is in the world, we've forgotten what it means to live before the world for the glory of God.
It was good to hear that these young Christians were trying to counsel this young man for a long period of time. We'll be back in just a minute. Talk about more.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Finding a restaurant that appeals to your entire family can sometimes be a challenge. It has to be a place where there's something on the menu for everyone. Don't worry, we know how you feel. That's why at Christian Talk 660, we offer inspiring biblical teaching and compelling Christian talk on our menu. More than just the blue plate special with a side of Brussels sprouts, we're providing you with ministry for your family's mind, soul, and spirit. So if you're hungry for another helping, stick around. We've got more of what you're looking for. Christian Talk 660.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Jane, we deal with a lot of issues in counseling.
We do, but the wonderful thing is that God's Word has the answers.
That's right. The Bible does say that in it we've been given everything we need for life and godliness.
And that's why our commitment at the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling is to give God's counsel to God's people, whether you suffer from depression, anxiety, anger, or anything else.
The Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement and direction from God's Word at 864-420-2688.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Welcome back in to Calling for Truth. You have time to join the conversation if you'll give us a call, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Kevin, glad you brought up that news item. It's just good for us to think about these things. And my last point before the break was that if we had more influence upon individuals through the gospel, then culture would be going in a different direction,
mm-hmm, right.
and maybe we wouldn't be quite so voyeuristic,
that's
for example.
Right.
So I just make that point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Paul. We're going to switch gears now to the original topic that we were going to discuss was some statements that have been made by John Hagee. I think a lot of our listeners would probably be familiar with his ministry. He's got a television ministry. I'm going to play a short clip. It's only maybe 30 seconds or something from a YouTube advertisement that's out there for John Hagee's book. And the audio isn't great, so you got to listen a little bit carefully, but then we'll discuss some of the statements that are made there. So here goes a brief audio clip played directly from YouTube.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
This latest book by Pastor John Hagee is destined to generate lively discussions among Christians the world over. It's available in most U.S. bookstores, or call the number on the screen and order your copy today. Call now or visit our website.
Well, Paul, the announcer there says it's destined to stir conversation, and that's exactly what it's doing today.
That's right.
He's right. It is going to stir some conversation because he makes just outrageous claims throughout that discussion. We have a fella on the air with us right now. He has just called in, and his name is Kendall Adams. And Kendall Adams is a blogger. He has a blog out on the internet called alwaysreformingtoscripture.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who brought this to our attention and mentioned and reviewed the book out on his blog about some of these statements that John Hagee makes during this. And he kind of systematically goes through some of these statements that are made. I think it's interesting that right in the very beginning, on pages 14 and 15, John Hagee makes the claim that he believes that he has a call on his life to bring Jews and Christians together.
Mm.
And so he's got this ecumenical sense here, and really I think he's gone way overboard on the ecumenical part of this thing, where he is trying to break down any wall of distinction between the Christians and the Jews. In fact, in that little blurb we just heard, he says that notice in the beginning he talks about the sins of the fathers against the Jews. In other words, I think he is charging the Christian church with having sinned against the Jews by claiming that they were against the Messiah.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we want Christians and Jews and everybody to be together in a civil society, right? We're happy to live together, as we talked about yesterday. But if you want to bring Christians and Jews together in a spiritual sense, you have to do that through the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and also the Greek. So
that's
the only way we're going to come together in a spiritual sense. We've got to have a common bond with one another by virtue of being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in Christ, then they're not brothers and sisters. You know, they're lost.
That's right. I have some friends who have been over there and were just shocked by the paganness, the ungodliness of that society. It's not the romantic thing that we think about, you know, when we read about them in the Old Testament and the position that they held in the eye of God in the Old Testament is completely different to what the Jews are today.
Mm-hmm.
Many, you know, it's rejecting the Messiah, and he is here trying, John Hagee is now trying to spin that a little bit different way, and it's just not true. Let's bring Kendall into the discussion here. Kendall, thanks for calling in and being with us on the Calling for Truth radio program today.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate your ministry.
Kendall, tell us how you came to see this. I mean, how did you get involved in writing about this particular issue?
Well, actually, it's kind of, I hate to say it's humorous because this is such a serious topic.
Right.
Getting dressed one morning for church and happened to turn on the TV and heard Hagee on a commercial make some statements, and I thought, surely I didn't hear that right.
Mm-hmm.
Later picked up the book, didn't read it. I don't personally read his material, but he is a very popular author.
Right.
Sells a lot of books, and had it on my bookshelf. Then I saw the clip that you just played, listened to it, and I thought, I did hear him right. So I sat down and read the book and couldn't believe what I was reading. You know, all of us are against anti-Semitism, which is about the first 130 pages or so.
Right.
But the section about answering Christian critics, just, you know, 8-10 statements just on flatly denying that Jesus is the Messiah, just shocked me because, one, this is a big-selling book, and a lot of people listen to him and will really buy into what he is saying. I hate to say today we lack discernment.
Yeah.
And I was just at a Christian bookstore yesterday, talked with a bookstore owner for an hour, and, you know, at first this lady's just saying, I have a hard time believing. You know, I trust him and I trust his theology. And I gave her the paper that I'd written on a response, and I just... I'm more passionate about it now, seeing that there's just a lack of concern over how serious of a charge this is. This isn't a debate over the timing of rapture issues and, you know, things that Christians, good Christians, can disagree over. You know, this is, you know, even though we might disagree with fellow believers on topics, a variety of topics, this seems to be very foundational.
Well, Kendall, let me jump in there. I think you're right, and we're going to go to the phone lines. We've got a question for you, caller, I'm sure. But let me just say you're right, because John Hagee has made statements in other contexts, and essentially that's what he's saying here in his book, that there is another way of salvation for the Jews, that they don't have to be saved through Jesus Christ. So we'll get to that and flesh that out a little bit. I've read your paper, and your scriptural answer is just wonderful, and I appreciate that. But let's go to the phone lines. We've got Larry on the line. Larry, welcome into the broadcast.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Listen, and I've known this for several years, but I didn't know it as a fact, and that is that John Hagee is what I guess we term as a Bill Covenant theologian, and if you are a Jew, well, by virtue of the very fact that you're a Jew, you're going to be saved, and that's as unscriptural as can be. But did I get it right when you guys said that John Hagee did not come to the Jews as a Messiah? Is that what he said?
Go ahead, Kendall. You want to reply to that one?
Well, here in his book, he said there is not one verse in Scripture, this is on page 135 and 136, in the New Testament that says Jesus came to be the Messiah. And then he says again, if Jesus refused by his words or actions to claim to be the Messiah to the Jews, then how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Over and over, he states that, look, Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah. He didn't show any supernatural signs to prove that he was Messiah, which is a direct contradiction to the purpose statement in the Gospel of John, where John said, I've written to you about these signs that Jesus performed that what? Proved, validated, showed that he indeed was the Messiah, the Son of God. And that, well, by believing you might have life in his name. So, yeah, he's...
Let me ask you this. What does he do with the verse where the Lord says, I've come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? That's about as plain as you can get.
You know, yeah. And we could, I mean, there's so many scriptures. I told our church that really any Christian should be able to respond to this. This is just...
Well, this is so elementary. I mean, you're right.
Exactly.
The average Christian should at least know a scripture where they can rebut this, because that's just silliness. Listen, in defense of some of the things you said, I certainly don't think, you know, I think what with that statement on the Messiah, that's just ridiculous. He's just way off base on that. But now I will say this, in view of some things I've seen in the last few years. I do believe that the believers, Christians, are coming together in support of Israel. You see that on television shows and all these Zionist shows who are bringing the Russian Jews back and all that kind of thing. And I kind of laugh at that because, you know, the Bible does not say that it's going to be a human effort to bring all of the Israelites back to Israel. This is going to be a job of the Messiah when he comes back the second time. So, yeah, I do see cooperation in the Jewish community as well as the Christian community. In fact, I saw Avi Lipkin today on television. I don't know if you know who Avi Lipkin is, but he's formed a political party that is basically a coalition between Christian and Jews. So I do see that happening in this day as never before, but he's way off base on that thing about the Messiah, and he didn't come for the Jews or Israel. That's just nonsense.
It's certainly a large topic, Larry, and there's many, many elements to it. You know, when we talk about Israel, whether or not they're an ally of the United States and those types of things, and in those cases, you know, obviously we should be working with them. But we're talking really here about a spiritual point, you know, just about John Hagee blurring the distinction on the topic of soteriology and saying, you know, trying to make the statement that that, you know, the Jews don't need to be saved, as Paul was articulating at the beginning of the broadcast. They don't need to be saved in the same way that we do, that Christ didn't come as the Messiah.
That's just baloney. Baloney.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Larry, for the call. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate the call, Larry. We've got another caller we're going to come to right after the break. We're going to go to the break first. Kendall, you hang on, too, as well, and just to clarify, yeah, there is a theology out there that says that, hey, just because you're a Jew, you're going to be saved. That's what John Hagee believed. It's not what the Bible teaches. I mean, you had the New Testament church, you know, Paul preaching to Jews and Gentiles, Peter preaching to Jews and Gentiles. The only way to be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about these statements that Hagee has set forth in his book regarding Jesus as Messiah for the Jews. And we'll get into some other things. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Hi, this is Jane Robolo for Dr. Michael Youssef and Leading the Way with a special announcement. Dr. Youssef will be ministering this month in the Middle East, traveling to the United Arab Emirates, sharing the truth of God's Word in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Please pray for Dr. Youssef as he takes the good news of Jesus Christ to those who so desperately need to hear it. And as always, thanks for your support of Leading the Way.
Weekday mornings at 9:30 on Christian Talk 660. Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
You'd be surprised at how many women are heartbroken in their marriages. It might be that you are one of these women. You may simply have some unbiblical expectations, or the issue may be deeper. Hi, this is Jane Johnson with the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement. Call us for direction from God's Word. Call us, the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling, at 864-420-2688.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
John Hagee's written a new book, In Defense of Israel, and in that book he argues that Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah for the Jews. So how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting him if he really never offered himself to them as Messiah? And he also says that the Lord Jesus didn't come to Israel, but from Israel. We're going to be talking about those issues and more with Kendall Adams. He's written a response paper, done some sound and solid exegesis from the Scriptures. And we'll get to him momentarily. We do have another caller on the line. This is Buckley. Buckley, welcome into the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm very happy that you've got this topic today. I think it's important and it needs to be addressed. Most of my Christian brethren just automatically side with Israel no matter what, no matter what evil they might do as a nation.
Hmm.
They don't want to consider that a lot of these covenants are conditional covenants,
mm-hmm.
and there's responsibilities that the Israelites need to live up to on their own.
Yes. Well, go ahead.
As for Reverend Hagee, I've read his dual covenant theory before. He believes that Jews will be saved and go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. But when I looked into Hagee and his personal life, you know, he had to resign back in 86 for having an adulterous affair with a lady in the church whom he later married after leaving his wife. Mm. He sat out of the pulpit for about 10 years or so. Mm. And he was then paying his new bride more than $1 million a year from ministry funds. I don't really have a lot of respect for the man.
Mm. Well, we appreciate the comments there. Buckley, Kendall, did you want to respond at least to some of that?
Well, as far as you know, I mean, we could talk about the covenants in the Old Testament, et cetera, and, you know, do the land promises, you know, apply to today? And I think with the book, the main and you know, same way with his personal life, there are a lot of ministries that focus on that.
Yeah.
But with this latest book, this is something across the board where Christians can say this is Christianity 101.
Yeah.
To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you might have life in his name. Nothing is more central than getting the doctrine of salvation correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you could spend a few programs on the health, wealth, gospel,
yeah,
you know, of Hagee, but this is, in my opinion, the most serious to deal with.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Buckley makes a great point that you've got these other issues that really come from this one, but then we get back to just, you know, a lot of people can actually debate those things in some sense, but then you come back, and here he's saying that Jews essentially don't have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And you've got the whole New Testament you've already quoted from the Gospel of John and John's purpose statement. But you've got all of the authenticating signs that Jesus himself performed, which authenticated his messiahship. You've got John the Baptist in prison saying, "Are you the one?" And Jesus said, you know, tell John the blind see, the lame walk, etc. He pointed to the signs. And again, in your paper, you point out a number of other things. In fact, there are several arguments that John Hagee makes to defend his case, and every one of them blatantly and plainly contradicts Scripture.
Exactly. Yeah. It really boggles my mind that this could get through the hands of any editors. I mean, I would like to check that out. When I was talking with the bookstore owner, they said, "Well, why don't you contact the publishing company?" You know, and he's no longer publishing that I know of with a well-known publisher.
Yeah, I don't know who publishes this. Is it self-published?
No, it's a company, and I don't have right now in Iowa, we're getting ice.
Oh, okay.
And my book I left at the church office, but I have all the quotes here. I'm going to check into that because I think that is a serious issue.
Right.
Some responsibility.
Sure.
For the publisher as well.
Right. And, you know, we talk often about Christians should have a good foundation, like we've been saying. You've been referring to this as Christianity 101, that Christians should be able to reject this out of hand. But of course, we know who buys the book. It's professing Christians,
exactly.
You know, who you started off by saying have little discernment as to, you know, they just hear certain statements being made and, you know, they base the entire theology on maybe pray for the peace of Israel or something, and they don't really understand then, you know, that he has taken this further, that he has switched it to, you know, saying that there's a different way of salvation for them altogether. And so, you know, this is a very, very serious statements that are being made by John Hagee that need to be rejected by the church for sure. You know, I'm not saying either that we're not really even getting into whether there is still a something for Israel, mm-hmm. Romans chapter 11, and really
exactly.
Going through an exegesis of that. We're not saying that. We're not blasting Israel in that way. We're just saying that John Hagee has crossed the line, that in his overzeal for this, he came to the Greenville area and some friends of ours went to go see him. They had gotten me some tickets too, and I couldn't go for one reason or another. I think I was ill or something that day. But anyways, they said the ecumenism that was part of it, that having Jewish rabbis on the platform and speaking, they said it was just unbelievable you know, the atmosphere that was there. It was a more of a patriotic rally for Israel, that type of thing, but mixed with spiritual truths in there as well, too, and really has blurred this line between those two distinctions and has gone way too far. In your book, or in your review of the book, Kendall, you point out that he gives five statements as to why he thinks that the Jews were not offered. Jesus had to live to be the Messiah was number one, that if it was God's will for Jesus to die from the beginning, then obviously he wasn't going to live in Israel for the rest of eternity, and so therefore he couldn't have been the Messiah. If it was Jesus' intention, you know, to be the Messiah, then he would have never said that it was appointed unto him to be obedient unto death. Hagee says that there's not one verse in the New Testament that says that Jesus came to be Messiah, which is just absurd, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And then he said if Jesus refused by the words or the actions he claimed to be the Messiah, so his words and actions didn't back up that he wanted to be the Messiah either, which again is just as absurd, and we can point to numerous cases against arguing against that. So there's where we're going in the conversation. But, Paul, did you have something?
We'll just go to the phone line, if that's right, with Kendall. We've got two callers up, and then maybe we can hit some of those issues that Kevin raised and some other arguments that Hagee sets forth in your answer in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kendall, honestly, we're just going to point people to your website because there's no way we can finish talking about your paper today.
Always reforming to scripture.blogspot.com.
Okay. Yeah, we highly recommend the reading of this paper. Let's go first to Don. Don, welcome into the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Thank you, brothers. This is shocking, but I'm not really surprised. Somebody gave me one of his books a couple of years ago, and he believed then, about 2 or 3 years ago, and maybe even longer than that, that Jews didn't need to accept or to receive Christ in order to go to heaven. He prayed with them in Israel, and he says that they pray to the same God that we do, and I think in light that they reject the revelation of the New Testament, I don't believe that that's true. They don't pray to the triune God.
Mm-hmm.
And also they also said that he has said that if you embrace covenant theology or new covenant theology, that you are you're equivalent to Adolf Hitler, that you're anti-Semitic, which is just outrageous.
Right.
His exegesis of Romans 9 is very, very skewed. You know, he believes that when Paul's talking about election there, he's only talking about Israel as a nation,
right,
and not in regard to salvation. So just so much of his theology has just been way off, so I'm really not shocked. But what does he do with Scripture? What does he believe the purpose of Christ's miracles were, if not to prove that he was the Messiah? If he says there's no supernatural proof,
mm-hmm. Kendall,
Kendall,
say that again. I couldn't quite hear it.
Well, Kendall, I'll ask you. You address this in your paper. What does John Hagee say the purpose of the miracles that Jesus performed was, if they were not to authenticate his messiahship?
Yeah. There's a couple of things here. It's interesting. Really, you need to, I think what would be best is for Hagee to have a debate.
Mm-hmm.
You could put him on the spot and ask him what he believes in about the Jewish people and their salvation. And please explain all these scriptures that talk about his purpose is to be a suffering Messiah. Hagee states that Jesus is the Savior. He came to die. So he would say, you know, he came to die for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. But he confuses that. He says, you know, when he takes on the role of the Messiah, that's going to be ruling as king. Well, that is exactly why many of the Jews of Jesus' day had a problem with him being the Messiah.
Right.
Yes.
If he's going to be the Messiah, he's going to conquer Rome. But, you know, many of the Jews that, like, we have a Jewish lady in our church who's a strong believer in the Lord Jesus. And, they love these Jewish brothers and sisters who trust in Christ. They love Isaiah 53.
Yes.
The Old Testament predicted that Jesus would be the suffering Messiah that would die.
Exactly.
You know, so he confuses that.
Yeah. What do you do with all of the? Well, what do you do with all of those scriptures? For example, in Isaiah that talk about, you know, it's too little of a thing that you should be the shepherd of my people Israel, but I will set you over the Gentiles. Of course, he's an old-school dispensationalist.
Yeah.
And very much so. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate the question. And this may help a little bit, because I recall in your paper, Kendall, you point out that Hagee really, you know, he takes verses out of context. And one of the things he says is, you know, Herod or someone, for example, asked Jesus to perform a sign, and he refused to give a sign to Herod. And so he goes from that and he makes this leap. You see, Jesus didn't perform signs to authenticate his messiahship. Well, that was a different case. He wasn't here at Herod's beck and call. He wasn't here to dance for him, so to speak. And, you know, others demanded a sign, and Jesus said, I will give you no sign. But if you finish the verse, he said, except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was in the heart of the fish for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. So you got to take it as a whole, right?
Exactly.
All right, Kendall, hang on. We're going to a break, and then we've got another caller on the line right after that. You can see this topic is so interesting. That's why we'll never get through the paper. That's why we just recommend folks to go to the website, read it. You can read it in about 15 or 20 minutes, but it's very, very insightful. We appreciate it, Kendall. We'll be right back. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
At Christian Talk 660, it's our desire to be good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. One of the ways we can do this is through our free inspirational announcement program for pastors in our community. More information is available by clicking on the Inspo Program link on the left nav bar, at ChristianTalk660.com, or by calling our business office toll-free at 1-800-849-8930. Christian Talk 660, your partner in ministry.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome back into Calling for Truth. Our special guest today is Kendall Adams. We're talking about John Hagee's book, In Defense of Israel. Let me say this quickly. Richard Gans is a Presbyterian minister now, and he's Jewish, and he was saved at La Brie. This is the retreat center that Francis Schaeffer and his wife Edith established. And while he was there, you know, they would talk about the things of God, and somebody came up to him and started reading out of the Scriptures about the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus, as Messiah, and going to the cross, etc. And Richard Gann says, listen, I told you I'm a Jew. I don't believe in the New Testament. You can just quit wasting your time. Quit reading that to me. And the individual said to Richard Gans, I'm not reading from the New Testament. I'm reading from Isaiah 53. And Richard Gans was saved praise as a result Lord. Of that because his eyes were opened by the grace of God. And so,
amen.
Yes, the Lord Jesus came to be a suffering servant. The Jews didn't understand that. They thought he came to be a political ruler, you know, a conqueror. And one day he will conquer all sin. And he did conquer sin. Satan and death at the cross, and one day, you know, he'll come back physically, and we'll see that. But he came to suffer the first time, right? He came to die on that cross, and the Jews missed that by and large. But the good news is, according to the Bible, that if they will see and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved just like anyone else. Really, the good news is that we can be saved just
amen.
Like anyone else because we're grafted in, as it were, Paul says. That's a whole other discussion.
That's
so,
right. Romans
Kevin,
11,
yeah,
just like we're
right.
talking about.
That's right.
Just very quickly, Paul, this isn't in the commercial sections of our radio program, so I just want to mention it real quick about folks, you know, that they've earned some R&R. There's a business that is supporting our broadcast called Residential Resources of the Upstate, George Wilkie and Derek Millwood. And I just want to make a quick plug for those guys. If you're looking to get some work done, you got some folks coming in from out of town or need some holiday decorations put up or some landscaping done or some work done around the house, these guys do an excellent job. George and Derek, let me give you a phone number. It's 490-6336. That's 490-6336. And you can give these guys a call. They come highly recommended. With that, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Rock up next. Hey, Rock, welcome into the program today.
Thank you. I tell you what, John Hagee really does punch a hole in my theology. Perhaps I should have studied under John Hagee instead of Saul Paulus.
Yeah.
But I just wondered how does he make any comment or explain why Paul was so upset about the Jews receiving Christ as Savior? I mean, Paul was, you know, said that he would willingly suffer torments
yeah.
or go to hell if he could get the Jews to accept Christ as their Savior. Does John Hagee make any comment about
it? Did you hear that, Kendall?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Excellent question. And he doesn't deal with the Apostle Paul. You know, if you look at the early church in the book of Acts, right after Saul is converted, in Acts 9:22, it says, Saul kept increasing in strength, confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus. Listen to this. By proving that this Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
Chapter 17, he goes out, and his passion is to go into the synagogues and proclaim that indeed the Messiah is none other than the Lord Jesus who died and rose again. And excellent question. You know, I see why he skipped it. I see why he didn't deal with the Apostle Paul, because the early church, starting with Peter, their proclamation was Jesus is indeed the anointed one, the Messiah who came to die for sins and conquered death.
I think it's important, too, to point out for some who may not know, most people do know, but the word Christ is simply the Greek word for Messiah. It means anointed one, as you've just alluded to. It's interesting, my wife, for another reason, just did a personal study in a few books of the New Testament, and the word Christ is used at least three times more than the word Jesus with reference to Jesus Christ. Not that he's not Jesus, but Christ is certainly his title, and it's simply the Greek form of the word Messiah, and that's used throughout the New Testament to refer to him.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, really, the argument ends right there then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just basically build a case just on that, and it's over, you know. And the Gospel of John, you know, at the very in chapter 1, when Andrew, who's Jewish, we all know that, heard about Jesus being the Lamb of God, he went and told Peter, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ.
Yes.
That's not an editorial footnote that's in the Greek manuscript. So, excellent point brought out. Here Andrew runs to Peter, said, look, we have found the Messiah, which translated into Greek means Christ.
you know, the whole book of Matthew, of course. I think you point this out somewhere in your paper as well, but the whole purpose of it is to show that Jesus is the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament scripture, that it was prophesied that he would be the one that would come upon the, you know, the throne of Israel, that he was the one that was predicted throughout all those scriptures, talking about David's son, that Christ was the fulfillment of that. And Matthew's entire context of his book is designed for that. Rock, did you have any other additional comment?
Well, I just would like to read John Hagee and find out what he believes that Jesus was really up to then, if he didn't come as a Messiah. What, you know, what did he come for? What was he up to? It seems to me he wasted a whole, you know, he wasted a whole 33-year shot on earth.
Well, I guess, and Kendall can help us with this, I guess what John Hagee would say, yes, he came to be the Savior, and Gentiles have to believe in him in order to be saved, but he didn't come to be the Messiah to the Jews. Is that really where Hagee's coming from, Kendall?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there is a distinction there, and I appreciate that question, because it seems like at least a whole half of Jesus' ministry is left out there, and that's why we said at the top of the show that it really goes to the doctrine of salvation. But anyway,
well, but see, all we would have to do then is be proselyted into Judaism.
Good point.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have to believe in Christ dying for us and rising again. We could just, you know, join the Jews in their religious system, and that would take care of us too.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Paul speaks against that. The Judaizers are following him around and basically giving that message, you know, basically saying, well, okay, it's fine what you believe about Jesus, but you really need to come back to Judaism and follow all these rules and regulations, because this is really the way to be saved. And Paul spent the entire time of his ministry debunking what the Judaizers were doing in the churches, and to the Galatians, you know, who has bewitched you that you should go ahead and believe these things, you know, having started in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh, and so forth. So, you know, that was already tried, and we find this with a lot of things that come against the church. They're not new, they're just repackaged, and basically John Hagee is repackaging what the Judaizers attempted to do in the early church. So thanks a lot, Rock, for your insight on those things. We certainly appreciate it. And Kendall, we've got to thank you for coming on the broadcast here today and being willing to do this work. You did the bulwark here on actually deciphering his book and reviewing it on your website. And we just encourage people, again, you could go out to Kendall's website, and I'll let him give it here to you in just a second, or his email address if you want to get a hold of him for some more information. But if you want a simple way for our listeners that listen on a daily basis, you can simply go to callingfortruth.org. Under the audio archive section, we have the blog for today's show, and there's a link to Kendall's website right within that blog, so you can just click there. So that's www.callingfortruth.org, and that might be a little bit simpler way for folks to get there. Kendall, you got any closing comments, and give your website as well.
Well, I agree. Just, I think if they go to Calling for Truth, I just found your ministry about 3 weeks ago. Of course, I'm in Iowa, and I love any type of apologetic type stuff. And I found your website, started listening to some of the shows, and Kevin, that's why I emailed you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is right down my alley of what type of topics you guys deal with. So,
well, great. We're glad
thanks.
You did.
Yeah, amen.
And just in close, I think I'm preaching through Romans right now, and I'm in chapter 12. And, you know, as you look at the gospel, this, and we've reiterated this over and over.
Got about 20 seconds, Kendall, just so you know.
This is a gospel issue. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And Dr. Dean mentioned this verse. I want to close with this. Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Paul says we're all sinners in need of a Savior.
Amen. Excellent point, and an excellent way to close out the broadcast today. We'll see you again tomorrow, right here on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.